If you have your Bibles, please open them with me to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 8. And we're going to be looking this morning at verses 34 through 38, Mark 8, verses 34 through 38. The title of my message this morning is Going All In with Jesus. Last week, we started a four-part series that is called All In, and we're basically looking at what it looks like to go all in for Christ, what it looks like to follow Jesus, not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly, with total abandon and total commitment to Him. And so last Sunday, we looked at the passage of Scripture that comes right before the one we're looking at this morning. And what we saw last Sunday was that Jesus went all in for us by dying on the cross for our sins. And so what we're going to see over the next 3 weeks now and the rest of this series is that if Jesus went all in for us like that, then we should go all in for Him in every area of our life. And so when you found Mark chapter 8, please follow along with me as I read verses 34 through 38. The Word of God says this, "And calling the crowd to Him with His disciples, He said to them, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.'" Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, as we open your word right now, we pray that you would give us insight and understanding into it. Lord Jesus, we thank you right now for the fact that you suffered, that you were rejected, that you died, and that you rose again to go all in for our salvation. And so, Lord Jesus, the least we could do now, out of gratitude for what you've done for us, is offer you our lives as a living and holy sacrifice. May it be pleasing to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The best coach that I ever had was a high school basketball coach of mine named Bill Griffin. And Coach Griffin was an awesome coach. He was one of the winningest coaches in our high school, which probably wasn't saying much, but he was one of the winningest coaches in our high school. And he retired just a few years ago, and they inducted him into the Gardendale High School Sports Hall of Fame. But Coach Griffin, he just knew the game of basketball. He was one of those kind of stone-faced coaches that never showed much expression, never really got excited, but he knew what he was doing, and he knew how to push us hard, and he expected a lot out of his players. He always wanted us to be playing as hard as we possibly could. And one of the things that Coach Griffin would always tell us as players, I remember right before he would, you know, put us into the game, is that he would say, "Listen, Gaines, I want you to go as hard as you can for as long as you can." And what he meant by that was, look, when you're on that court, if you're in the game, I want you to be giving it 100% of your effort the whole time you're in. And if it gets to the point where you cannot give 100% of the effort, I will send in a substitute for you, and you can come and take a breather, okay? I just want to make sure that all five of my players who are on the court at that time are giving it 100%. So you go as hard as you can for as long as you can. Listen, I think that what Jesus is telling us in the passage that we're looking at this morning is that God wants us to go after Jesus as hard as we can for as long as we can. And that's going to be until we either die or He comes first, whichever happens first. Go after Him as hard as we can for as long as we can. Jesus is wanting us to go all in for Him. But the question is, what is it going to take to do that? What is it going to take for us to give 100% and go after Jesus as hard as we can? What is it really going to take for us to go all in for Jesus Christ? Well, I believe that according to our text, if we're going to go all in for Jesus, we have to live our lives by at least three mottos. And I want to give them to you. They're all out of Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Three mottos that have to become the mottos of your life if you're going to go all in for Jesus Christ. All right, so notice what they are with me. The first one that we see is in verse 34. The first motto that you have to adopt in your life, if you want to go all in for Jesus, is that you have to adopt the motto, I am second. I am second. And you see that in verse 34. Notice what he says in verse 34. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now notice in that one verse, who is it that has first place and who is it that has second place according to this verse? Well, notice again how the verse begins. It says, if anyone would come, notice, after me. After me. Who's the me? That's Jesus talking, right? So Jesus is first. He's at the front of the line, and he's saying, if you want to come after me, you got to come after me. He's first, you're second. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and notice it again, follow me, which means Jesus is the leader, and we are the followers, which means Jesus has first place, we have second place. I'm second. Jesus is first. I'm second. Now listen, in order to live by the motto, I am second, it's going to require something of you. And the key requirement, if you're going to live by that motto, I am second, the key requirement is summed up right in the middle of that verse 34, and it's this. It's self-denial. Self-denial. He says, if you want to come after me and make me first and you be second and follow me, you're going to have to do what? To deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Self-denial is the key if you're going to put Jesus first and you're going to be content to be second. Self-denial is the key. Now, here's the difficult part of that. Our natural inclination as sinful human beings is not to be second. Our natural inclination as sinful human beings is to be first. And so what Jesus is asking us to do is going to come unnatural for us. What Jesus is asking us to do is unnatural. In fact, what Jesus is asking us to do really is supernatural. He is asking us to put himself first and us second. It's just not the way we are wired according to our sinful human nature. And I think that you see that. I think we all understand that sinful human beings are all wired to put themselves first. I mean, you see this as early as a newborn baby, okay? If you've had a newborn baby, And you know that there are times in the middle of the night when that newborn baby is going to cry and is going to wake you up, right? Now, what's going on in that moment? In that moment, even that newborn baby knows, my need for milk is greater than my parents' need for sleep, right? That's what they're essentially functioning on. They don't really get it, I think, intellectually, but that's what they're doing. They're living by the motto, I'm first, and I do not care about the other needs of the people in the house. I don't care that they need to sleep right now. I don't care that they've had a long day. I don't care that they're tired. I need milk or I need to be held or whatever it might be. I am first. That's how we come out of the womb. And then as children get a little bit older, and maybe they start going to school and they go to church and they're around other kids and a teacher or a leader has to put them in a line at some point in their life, what do they fight for? They fight to be in the front of the line, right? And so the little boys will fight each other to be in the front of the line. Why? Because I am first. That's what's ingrained in us, in our sinful natures. Well, you know, adults do it too, don't they? Adults do it too, in all sorts of ways. I think that oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes, this is what's happening in a marriage when someone decides to leave. What they're saying is, I am not happy. And I need someone or something else. And so I don't care the damage that it's going to cause my spouse. I don't care the damage that it's going to cause my kids. I need to be happy. And regardless of what they need, I have needs and I am first. This is the way that human beings are wired. So when Jesus says, if you're going to come after me, you're going to have to deny yourself and you're going to have to be content being second in life. He is asking you to do something that is totally going against what every fiber of your being is screaming for you to do, and that is to be second place, not first in your life. And that is a hard and difficult thing. It's unnatural, and it requires a supernatural help of the Lord. So Jesus is first, I am second. But notice, following Jesus doesn't just mean that we prioritize Jesus and make him first. It also means following Jesus that we imitate Jesus and follow his example. And so what did Jesus do in his own life? Think about Jesus' own life. Jesus himself took up his cross, denied himself, and died, sacrificing his life for other people. So then when you know that, and then you read verse 34, and he says, if you want to come after me, you must deny yourself and do what? Take up your cross and follow me. What he's saying is, it's not just that you have to put me first in your life and prioritize me. It's that you have to imitate me as well. And just as I have taken up my cross and sacrificed my life for other people, so too you must do the same. So what does that mean? It means that we must be content being second in two ways. We must be second to Jesus, and we must be second to others. Because why did Jesus take up his cross? He did it to serve other people. Notice what Mark 10:45 says on the screens about Jesus. It says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, to be first, but to serve, to take a position of second place, when out of all the people throughout history, if there was anyone who deserved to be able to say, I am first, it was Jesus. He instead humbled himself, taking the form of a servant, and served, and gave his life as a ransom for many. So now we see another key aspect of what it means to live by the motto, I am second. It means first, Jesus is first, I am second. And then also it means others are first, and I am second. I'm going to serve them. I'm going to sacrifice for them. I'm going to take up my cross and deny myself for them, because in doing so, I am following Jesus. That's what it means to follow Jesus, to imitate his example and to follow his example. Paul says it this way. In Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So, we're second means Jesus is first. I am second means others are first. But then there's an interesting connection between those two things. Jesus goes on to say later in the Gospel of Matthew that really, when you put yourself second and you serve others first, that when you serve others, you're actually serving him too. And in fact, the way you put Jesus first, practically speaking, what does that look like in real life? The way you put Jesus first is by putting others first. Notice a real clear example of this in Matthew 25. Jesus is in Matthew 25, he's talking about when he is going to come again. Jesus, the Bible teaches, is going to come a second time. And he's going to finish what he started. He's going to defeat his enemies, and he's going to gather his people from every tribe, tongue, and nation of this earth, and he's going to set up his eternal kingdom and make all things new. It's going to be glorious. But he says that when he comes, there's first going to be a great separation, a judgment day, where he separates the sheep, which are his people, from the goats, which are not his people. And it's interesting in Matthew 25, the key distinguishing factor between the sheep and the goats is how they've served other people. So notice what he says about that in Matthew 25, 35. He says, Jesus says to the sheep, his people, he says, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. Jesus is talking. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? I mean, you're in heaven. We can't see you. We never saw you in those ways. And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And notice verse 40. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. So what does it look like to put Jesus first and you second? It means to put others first and you second. And when you serve them, you in reality are serving him. We have to, Jesus is saying, die to ourselves. We have to die to ourselves figuratively by serving other people and denying ourselves, and we might even have to die to ourselves literally, giving up the ultimate cost for the cause of Jesus Christ. And this is why this whole idea of self-denial and sacrifice and taking up your cross to follow Jesus, this is why when I talk to people who don't seem to understand or be willing to make any kind of sacrifices for Christ, I wonder sometimes if they really even get it. I talk to some people sometimes, they're like, man, I don't want to come to church if it's raining, right? I thought that this morning too, just to let you know. Or, man, I don't want to come to church if I have to give up my parking place for a guest, or I don't want to come to church if I have to serve in the nursery, or I don't want to have to give of my money to the cause of Christ. Or how about this one? I don't want to have to get wed in the baptistry. I heard one pastor say, if you can't follow Jesus into a tank of water, you sure aren't going to be able to follow him to the ends of the earth with the gospel. Amen? And so we have this idea that I don't want to inconvenience myself for the cause of Jesus. And when we evidence that, I'm almost wondering, are we even having the same conversation? We're talking about not wanting to inconvenience ourselves, and Jesus here is talking about having nails driven through your hands and feet for the cause of Christ. Those two things don't go together. So Jesus is saying, you want to follow me, you want to be all in, you have to live by the motto, I am second. And you have to sacrifice yourself for me and for others. So the first motto we see that we must live by, if we're going to go all in with Jesus and for Jesus, is the motto that I am second. The second motto we see is in verses 34 through 37, and that is this. We must live by the motto that loss is gain. Loss is gain. That has to become another motto of your life. Now, Jesus had just told his disciples in the passage right before this that we looked at last week, he had just told them that he himself was going to experience loss. In verse 31 of chapter 8, Jesus said, it says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. Jesus was going to experience loss. And so when he calls them to a life of loss, he's not calling them to something that he himself isn't committed to. You understand? He's saying, I'm going to experience loss too. But Jesus knew and even reminded them in verse 31 that his loss would ultimately lead to gain. Because how does verse 31 end? It says, he will be killed and after 3 days, what? Rise again. Rise again. Jesus is going to experience loss, but it will be temporary, and then that loss will lead to gain. I will die, but I will rise again. The author of Hebrews says it this way about Jesus' perspective. It says, Hebrews 12, verse 2, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Why was Jesus willing to give everything up and experience loss and shame and the cross? For the joy that was set before him. Loss will lead to gain. And now Jesus is turning around to his disciples and telling them that the same thing will be true of them if they truly follow him. They will be called to a life of loss. This is what he says in verses 34 and 35. At the end of verse 34, again he says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Those are words of loss, right? You might even lose your life. You'll at least have to lose your first place in your life. And follow me. Then in verse 35, notice, for whoever would save his life or gain it will lose it. Right? Whoever would save his life will lose it. But notice, like Jesus, if you're willing to lose your life for the cause of Christ, figuratively or literally, if you're willing to take second place and take a life of loss like Jesus did for the cause of Christ, ultimately that will end in your gain, because notice what the end of verse 35 says. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. You'll save it. Temporary loss for eternal salvation and eternal gain. Now, what does it mean to live a life of loss? What does it mean when Jesus says, whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel? What it means, what we discussed earlier. It means that you're going to take a second place position throughout the rest of your life in following Christ. Jesus is going to be first. Others are going to be first. I'm going to sacrifice myself for Jesus. I'm going to sacrifice myself for other people. That's what it means that you will lose something. But notice in verse 35, he adds a detail there. He says, if anyone loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake. So what Jesus is saying is he is implying that if you're going to follow me, you're going to join me in my mission of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the message of how people can be saved from their sins and be made disciples of his and forgiven and given the hope of eternal life. You're going to be doing the Great Commission if you follow me. It's going to be about me. It's going to be about the gospel. It's going to be about the Great Commission. And here's what he's saying. If you do that, it will cost you something. It will cost you your time. It will cost you your money sometimes. It will cost you some energy. It might even cost you your life. But if you will say, loss to me is gain, and agree to lose your life for my sake, I promise you, he says, you will gain it. You'll gain it back in the end. And then Jesus, in verses 36 and 37, tells us the reason why it's worth losing your life in service to Jesus. Notice what he says in verses 36 and 37. Notice the logic that he gives us, the reason why it's worth it. He says in verse 36, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" Here's the reason Jesus is giving for saying it's worth it to lose yourself for the cause of Christ. Here's what he's saying to Christians. To those of you who have decided, yes, loss is gain, Jesus is first, I'm going to follow him, I'm all in. Here's what Jesus is saying. You're making a temporary sacrifice following Jesus, losing my life for him. You're making a temporary sacrifice to gain an eternal reward. Temporary sacrifice, loss, but you gain an eternal reward. You lose your life, you'll save it. But here's the opposite is true as well. For the non-Christian in the room today, who says, I don't want to follow Jesus. I don't want to be second place. I want to stay first place. I don't want a loss. I want a life of gain in the here and now. Then here's what you're doing. Here's what you're saying, according to verses 36 and 37. You're saying, I'm okay with making an eternal sacrifice to gain a temporary reward. I'm okay making an eternal sacrifice to give up eternity with God in heaven and instead have to suffer for eternity in hell. I'm willing to accept that for temporary gain in this life, in the here and now. It's kind of like this. One time I saw a man just out in the public. I saw a man who had a Harley Davidson t-shirt on. And on that Harley Davidson t-shirt was this message. It says, if they don't have Harleys in heaven, then I'll drive mine straight to hell. Now I know that probably for that man it was like a joke. But it spoke volumes to me because I think that's the mentality of a lot of people. Basically, the logic of that is this. He's saying, I am willing to go to hell, a place of eternal, conscious torment. I'm willing to burn there and suffer there for all of eternity as long as I can drive a Harley Davidson motorcycle. In the Greek language, there's a word for that. It's called dumb, right? Or the Bible would call it foolishness. Or folly. But in reality, a lot of people are functioning with that same rationale in their life. They just don't stop long enough to realize that that's what's happening. And so there are a lot of people out there that are saying, you know what, I'm willing to go to hell as long as I can have sex with whoever I want to in this life. Or I'm willing to go to hell as long as I can spend my money however I want to in this life. Or I'm willing to go to hell as long as I can use my time however I want to in this life. As long as I can be first in this life. As long as I don't have to deny myself anything that I want in this life, I'm willing to go to hell. That's the rationale. Jesus says, what does it matter if you gain everything in the world? What does it matter if you're the richest man in the world? What does it matter if you have everything the world has to offer and you die and you forfeit your soul? That makes no sense. That is foolish. But what does make sense is making a temporary sacrifice for an eternal reward. Amen. And when you say, yes, Jesus, I'll be second, and you start living life under the motto, loss is gain, and whatever I count as gain, as Paul says, I consider loss for the cause of knowing Jesus Christ, my Savior. And you make that temporary sacrifice in the here and now, and then you get to heaven, and God says, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. Listen, you will forget the first split second you're in eternity. You will forget about all the loss you experienced in this life. Because loss leads to gain. So if you want to go all in for Jesus, you've got to live by the motto, loss is gain. So I am second, loss is gain. And then there's one more motto that we're given. It's in verse 38, that if we want to go all in for Christ, we have to live by. And that is this. Not ashamed. Not ashamed. That has to become the cry of your heart. That has to become the motto that you live your life by. Not ashamed. Notice what he says in verse 38. Jesus says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, In this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes. Let that sink in for a second. There are going to be people that when Jesus comes again, he will be ashamed of them. You say, well, he would never do that. He's a God of love. Listen, I just read it. It came out of Jesus' own lips. There will be people that when he comes again, Jesus will be ashamed of them. And who are they? They're the ones that are ashamed of him in this life. They're the ones that are ashamed of him in this life. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23, on that day, the last day, when he comes again, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now listen, why would Jesus even need to tell his disciples not to be ashamed? Why would he even need to tell them that? Well, here's why. Because if you live your life by the mottos, I am second and loss is gain, people are not going to think you're cool if you do that. That's not a recipe for being the most popular person around. If you live your life by the motto, I am second and loss is gain, that's going to lead not to people thinking highly of you, but people thinking that you're weird. That's what they're going to think because that's not natural. And you're going to stick out like a sore thumb and you're going to be unlike the other people around you, but you've got to get to the point where you don't care about that, okay? You've got to come to grips with the fact that you're not here to get pats on the back from the world, and you're not here to win a popularity contest. You're here to honor Jesus Christ, to put him first in your life, and to be second, and to live by the motto, loss is gain, so I am not ashamed. Paul says it this way in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, the message of Jesus, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then at the very end of his life, Paul said these words, I'm not ashamed, multiple times in his letters. And at the very end of his life, right, he's in prison, he's about to die for the cause of Christ. Talk about losing your life and taking up your cross. Paul literally was going to lose his life for Christ. And he pins these words to his disciple Timothy and says to Timothy, Timothy, don't be ashamed. Now, Paul's the one in prison. Paul is the one who is probably feeling the weight of the temptation to be ashamed of Christ and to deny him. And yet Paul has the wherewithal to write to Timothy and say, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Don't be ashamed, Timothy. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Live by the motto, not ashamed. I read a story, or heard a story about a missionary recently. And this is a missionary who was working among a Muslim people group. It was a very dangerous place to live as a Christian and to be trying to share the gospel. He could easily be found out and killed and put to death for it. But he came across a man that the Lord had been working on, and he shared the gospel with this man, and for 2 hours he unpacked the goodness of the gospel and of God's grace, that Jesus died for his sins, that Jesus is God, not just another prophet, and that he died for his sins, and he rose from the dead, and he asking you to follow him. And so for 2 hours, just explaining the gospel to this man, at the end of which time, he said to the man, do you want to trust in Jesus today? And the man said, yes, I do. And so like he always did, he just began to pray. He said, here's how we do that. We're going to pray. And he begins to lead the man in prayer. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of leading this man in prayer, the missionary just stops. And he looks up at the man and he says, hold on a second. Forgive me. You realize what this is going to mean for you, right? You realize that I'm going to ask you next to be baptized, to obey the command of Christ, to publicly declare that you're a follower of Jesus and that you're not ashamed of him. And you realize that when people find that out, your family might disown you. And you are probably going to lose your job. And they might even kill you. Are you sure you want to do that? He said, that's the worst evangelist I've ever heard in my life. Aren't you scared to do that? He said. And the man said, listen, if what you said is true, and Jesus died for me, and he's calling me to follow him, then no matter what I lose, if I lose my family, I'm okay with that. If I lose my job, I'm okay with that. If I lose my life, I'm okay with that, because Jesus is worth it all. And so the man prays, and he repents of his sins, and he believes in Jesus Christ. Now, I know that your conversion, if you're a Christian here today, was probably not that dramatic. There might not have been the risk for you of losing your life or of losing your job, of your family disowning you if you repent of your sins and believe in Jesus. But essentially, the essence of what you were saying was the same thing as that man, that former Muslim. When you repented of your sins and began to follow Jesus, you were essentially saying, whatever I might lose in doing this, if I have to lose friends, if I have to lose a job, if I have to lose, yes, my very life, it is all worth it for the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord and of following Him. It's worth it. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Listen, Jesus is calling us today to go as hard after Him as we possibly can. To go after Him with 100% of everything that is within us. And when we get to the end of ourselves, to realize that the Spirit will provide us even more power to keep going. And to go after Him with everything. To go all in with Him. But if we're going to do that, you have to live by these mottos. I am second, loss is gain, and not ashamed. Now here's what I think that means. This morning I stuck this in my pocket. This is a check for my checking account. And there's nothing on it except the place where I wrote my name down at the bottom right-hand corner. Don't jump me after the service and steal this. If you wanted to, if you got a hold of this, you could go to the bank and you could clean me out for all I'm worth. You wouldn't be that rich afterwards, but you could do it. You could take everything I have, financially speaking. Here's what Jesus, I think, is saying. In this passage about going all in. He's saying, what does it mean to go all in? What does it mean to say, okay, I'm going to be second and not first. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to live by the motto that loss is gain. I'm willing to lose everything. I'm willing to be made fun of. I'm not ashamed. What does it mean to really do that? It means that you take your life and like a blank check, you write your name at the bottom of it and you give it to God and you say, God, whatever you want me to be, I will be. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. Wherever you want me to go, I will go. Whoever you want me to serve, I will serve. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my life. You're first. I'm second. And Jesus is calling you to do that. Let's pray together.